All right. Let's get into the word of God. Esther chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. We're going to read chapter 2, verses 21 through chapter 3, verse 11. 2:21 through 3:11. All right, we're beginning to read the scripture. We want to ask everybody who doesn't have scripture on their cell phone, put your cell phone up. It's time to pay attention to what God has to say. Esther chapter 2, verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. So the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. And when an inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged on a gallows. And it was written in the book of Chronicles in the presence of the king. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, an Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman. For so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's command?" Now it happened, when they spoke to him daily, and he would not listen to them, that they told it to Haman, to see whether Mordecai's word would stand, for Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay homage, Haman was filled with wrath, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai, in the first month, which is the month of Nisan, and in the 12th month, which is of King Ahasuerus, they cast pur, that is, the lot, before Haman to determine the day and the month until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of the kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's law. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hand of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasures." So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, and the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, "The money and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you." Amen. Amen. We're blessed by the reading and hearing of God's holy word. All right, this is our youth and children's day. So we'll give you, hopefully, I'm going to give you the text or the title later. I do need two people. Amen. Two of our young people to get scriptures. I got a couple of scriptures. I need two volunteers to get scriptures. All right. I got Jordan and Gabby. Jordan, get Acts 8:1. You got your Bible, John? But you was
it? He is
a Bible. All right, I'm getting my Bible. Okay. And Gabby, Genesis 50:20. And y'all just hold on to those. Because it's going to be a while maybe before I get to it. All right. But I'm going to need you to read those later. All right, now, everybody. Can anybody tell me what this is right here? A big tire. All right, it's a big one, too. And where do you use to find these tires at? On the car, our tire shop. Okay. Anywhere else?
On
the wagon. Huh? At the dealership, all right. But most of the time, we see them on cars. Well, this type of tire. Need this type of tire. What do we most of the time on a truck or a car? All right. Now, I want to do something different with this tire. That's why I put this rope on. So now that I got this rope on, what do you think I can make it out of? Have you saw that?
Yeah.
A swing. All right, we get another chain or something, but we can make it out of a swing. Or you can even make it, if you lay it flat, you can make it out of a swing that sits flat. Y'all never seen them before? But it can be a swing. All right. You see it on the table. All right. Now, but it was made for car or truck. Okay. So now, that's the purpose. It was created to be on a car or truck. If you make it out of a swing, that's what you call repurposing.
Yeah.
Right. Y'all got it?
Yeah.
So at first, it was created for a purpose. And then maybe it was flat, maybe it don't have no rubber on it, maybe for some other reason, it had got a knot in it, but you can't use it for the truck, you can't use it for the car no more.
Right.
So now, rather than throwing it away, they repurpose it. Okay? Now, the title of our sermon today is Providential Repurposing.
Okay.
Providential repurpose. That means when God cares for our lives, or cares for us, or God is involved in a way in our lives, that He repurposes something in our life. It could be an event. It could be a decision. It could be a coincidence. It is something in your life, and God wants to use it for a different purpose.
Okay.
Then you thought it was going to be used for.
Yeah.
He repurposes it. He can repurpose the things that happen in your life. You'll understand that a little bit better as we go on. In today's text, there are two and what are called plots. You know what? Anybody know what a plot is? A dog.
A dog.
You get to give me a dog named Plot. All right. But plot is usually with somebody. You have to get somebody. You have to get somebody, so you come up with a plan.
All right.
To get that person. When you plot it.
Right.
That's what kind of plot of anybody. Say, I don't like that person. Or, I want that stuff. That person that did something to me, so I got a plan to get back at them. Okay. In today's sermon, there are two plots.
All right.
Okay, there are two plots. One plot is against an earthly king. Mm-hmm. That's a king, a regular king, earth. That's one of the plots. The second plot is against an eternal king. Okay? So the first plot is against an earthly king. The second plot is against an eternal king.
Okay.
So the first plot is against what?
Earthly.
And the second plot is against a... Okay, let's try it again. All right. Try it again. Make sure I'm going to need everybody to answer back. Cell phones up. All right, here we go. The first plot is against a
earthly king.
The second plot is against a
eternal king.
Okay. Eternal king. Here we go. The first plot, there were two guys who were upset with King Ahasuerus. Bigthan and Peresh. Chapter 2, verse 21. They were doorkeepers. They became furious. And the Bible says they were going to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. That means they were going to get rid of him. He was going to be assassinated. He was going to be killed. They were going to lay hands on the King Ahasuerus. That was the plan. That was what happened. But now, and they were coming up with a plot. They got together. And like, you know, when you say, like when you're playing, sometimes when you're playing a sport, you have a huddle, whether it's football, you're on the field, it's basketball, you're on the sideline, whatever sports. I think soccer and other sports do it too. And you come out with a plan to defeat the other team. They were huddling up. They were talking about what they were going to do. The king, I have to worry about. But there was somebody that overheard. There was this guy over here named Mordecai. And they didn't think Mordecai would listen. But Mordecai would listen. And he heard their plan to get rid of King Ahasuerus. All right. He heard their plan. We're going to kill him. And Mordecai, So he went and told his cousin named Esther. Okay? Now, if you've been in there, we know Esther is, she's the queen now. Esther the queen. They were trying to get, now they're trying to get rid of the king. And he go tell the queen. So the queen can tell her husband the king. You're trying to get rid of you, trying to kill you. Bigthan and Teresh. So since he knew they were trying to get rid of him, he killed him first. They got killed first. They got hung. Alright, so we're there. So they can't, they could not complete their plot. Their plot now. It's sometimes like when you're plotting something and somebody know what you're going to do and they overhear it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people can see things you're going to do in advance. Yeah. And even though it might be in a legal practice like some football team do, they'll see what you're going to do. In advance, they might be taping you or something like that. And see what you're going to do in advance. So sometimes they get caught. She caught, I said, bro.
I just said
it. Sometimes they don't learn the first time. All right, but anyway, that's a plot. So the third plot was called. Somebody overheard. Somebody saw them what they were supposed to be doing and said they're doing something wrong. All right? That's what happened. So they over. Now, that's the first plot. They were going to kill the king, but he got out. So he told the queen. Queen told the king. And they wanted to kill him because he got to them first. Plot number two. Plot number two. The same one. Well, plot number two starts out kind of strange. Because remember, Mordecai overheard, told Esther.
Right.
Esther told the king. And they wrote it down after all this happened. So we didn't want to forget what all happened. Mordecai told the queen. Queen told him, so we know that. And they put it in the history book and they put it on the side. Now, chapter three starts off and it says there's a guy named Haman has been promoted. He's like second in charge. King Haman right up under him. He got all the authority of the king. He's right up under the king. But Haman does not like a certain kind of people. The Bible says Haman is an Agagite. And he doesn't like Jews.
All right.
Okay? So I'm dividing y'all. Everybody on this side, Agagites. Everybody on this side, Jews. All right, now I need a volunteer. Anybody in your prayer want to volunteer? You want to volunteer? No. All right. Now, me, all of you over there, you have your guy. Now, I want to tell you, I got something for you right here. Can't tell you what's in here, but just hold on with it. I want you to get in front of this table. Hold on to that. All right. Now, it is a cash now. I want to tell you that. And right now, it's yours. I don't know if you're going to be able to keep it. Me? I don't know if you're going to be able to keep it. But let me tell you how you keep it. You an aggregate. One of these Jews over here. They got another envelope. Yours say, what do yours say on the front?
The
heel. The heel. H-E-E-L. That's what hers say. Now, there's one person over here that has an envelope that says the head.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, the only person that can take that envelope for you is the one that says, over here, that says the head. Okay? Now, but this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I'm going to do for you. I got 14 codes. I'm going to give you these codes. Jews over here, and you guys over here. If you give, you can get them cards anybody wants to me. But if you give them that card and they happen to have that heel, that head on it, they can't use it. But you got to make sure you give it to the person that has the head. You don't know what it is. So, but you remember, you got Jews on this side. And you guys on this side. You give these sides you want to. You can give them all out. So, I was up to you. Who you want to give them to? Then go get them. Go have them out. Because if that person got that card and you give it to them, they can't use it. Let them know. Remember, you got to think about the Jews and the Agagites. Mika, let me help you a little bit. You listen to me? The person that got the card is a Jew. All right. All right. You didn't got nothing. You can't ask them, me. You just got to get all the cards out, and then we'll have the person. We'll have the person that got it to stand up. You got to give all the cards out first. Don't get nobody too. There you go. All right. You got any more meat? You gave them all out. Now, if you got that card, even if you got the head, you can't use it. All right. But I do need the person that had that card to stand up. Good thing you got your mama. See, you when you trying to eliminate folk, your mama don't count. All right, Mika, the money's yours. You all right, it's yours, Mika. It's yours. All right, all right. Look at this plan. Work out. Matt, the way Mika had the heel card. Yeah. Carla had the head card. The
Bible says, Genesis 3:15, that Christ, he shall bruise, meaning the devil, shall bruise Christ's heel. And Christ shall bruise his head.
Right.
Well, the enemy did not want that to happen. So the enemy wanted to wipe out all the Jews, just like Micah did. So then he wipe out all the Jews, then he can destroy the kingdom and keep his unearned authority.
Yeah.
It worked for Micah, but it won't work for the devil. Because God is still in charge.
Yeah.
But when we see, and I think when I say plot against the kingdom, when I say plot against the eternal kingdom, Satan, the enemy of God, has been trying to get rid of all the Jews ever since God said that the Savior, the one that was going to bruise Satan's head, was coming through them.
Right.
So just like Mickey said, well, if he comes through the Jews, if I can get rid of all of them, I'm still in charge because they can't bring what's saved. But every time they try, they've been trying to do it for 5,000 years. But because of God's providential care, they haven't been able to do it. In our text today, Haman got upset because Mordecai, y'all remember Mordecai, the one I talked about a while ago, the one that was standing around? What was going to happen to the king? Went and told the queen, went and told, the king, and know that God had took care of him and kept him safe. Well, Mordecai was hanging out at the gate. Now, everybody else at the gate, when Haman came, they bowed down.
Right.
They bowed down. But Haman never did bow down. Haman did not do what everybody else would do.
Mordecai,
thank you. Mordecai did not do what everybody else would do. But when everybody else saw Haman, they bowed down.
Right.
Mordecai would not bow down. And that's what caused the problem. Because he wouldn't bow down. So now, it is said, the reason why Mordecai wouldn't bow down was because he was a Jew. He was one of God's people, just like Christians are God's people. So now, what I'm saying to you, young people, is that as a Christian, there are certain things as Christians we can and cannot do.
All right.
Sometimes the unchristian people, the people that are not believers around you, they're going to do things that the Bible says, your parents says, and God says that's not appropriate. Mm-hmm. Just like Mordecai, can you stand and say, nah.
All right.
Because when you bow down, you say, okay, I'm going to give this thing control over me. Sometimes you bow down to them, control your life.
It's your master.
Alcohol and other negative things. You don't want to bow down. You want to do what the Bible says.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what's going to happen sometimes, the Bible will say, do one thing, the right way to do it. You have friends and other people that say, can you do the wrong thing? And you have to make that choice.
Right.
It becomes hard sometimes because like Mordecai, you are the only person.
That's
real.
Right.
They want to do it right. Mm-hmm. You are the only person that want to do it right. So what happens to you to say, if I don't go along with the crowd, if I don't go along with everybody else, I'm not going to have any friends. I'm going to lose friends.
Right.
I won't be popular.
Right.
And I know how important it is for people your age to be popular, to have friends. So sometimes you'll go along with doing something wrong in order to keep you free. Mordecai did not do that. He made a mistake. But Mordecai is like all of us. You and all that does in here. Sometimes we decide the right thing. Sometimes we decide the wrong thing. Sometimes we want to fit in. And sometimes we get enough courage to take a stand. Because Mordecai wasn't always like this. Because you remember what he told Esther? He said, Esther, don't tell them you're a Jew.
All right.
That was a few years earlier. He said, hide, because if you tell them, you're going to cause you trouble. But now, he said, He tell everybody he was a Jew. Mordecai kind of went back to this. And four, he kind of fluctuated. And aren't we like that? Are we always, see, sometimes we compromise. Sometimes we're committed. See, y'all don't want to be honest. Y'all ain't committed all the time. I don't care how long you've been in the church or what office you pray. If you really honest with yourself, there have been some areas you don't compromise.
Amen.
So we all have a little of Mordecai when we come compromise. But our prayer should be, Lord, help me to be committed. Yeah. He's still my life. But without him, without his help, you'll find yourself compromised.
That's real. Yes.
You'll find yourself going along with the crowd.
Yeah.
You'll find yourself wanting to fit in with everybody else. Right. And you'll never take that stand. Strange thing about this passage, it seemed like Mordecai, ain't he the same one that saved the king?
Yes.
He did such a good deed. And now, they're threatening Mordecai and Michael. He said, not only am I going to kill Mordecai, I'm going to kill all the people. Mordecai did something good. But now, something bad is happening to him. Listen, what I'm saying. This is an important point. Sometimes you do good, and bad still happen to you.
Yeah.
He said, why? Wait a minute. Wait a minute, God. I'm trying to do it like you want to do it. Why bad things happen to me? Why come I didn't pass the test? Why come I didn't make the team? Why is my mom or dad sick? Why are my parents divorced? I'm trying to be the good person. I'm trying to be a good Christian person that you want me to be. I'm trying to be dedicated. Why are these bad things always happening to me? And a dozen say that same thing. When we meet a kid, hey, I'm committed to Christ. Why did I get laid off my job? Why did I get this bad report from the doctor? I'm a church every Sunday. I deserve better than this.
All right.
Well, that's how I think Mordecai felt. I saved the king's life, and now my own life is in danger. God, that don't seem like this fair. Seem like God, I'm trying to say, I'm trying to be committed to you. I used not to be committed, but now I'm trying to be committed to you. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why do the bad things happen? Why? And I want to tell you, because all of us get to the point where it seems like evil is winning. Mm-hmm. Ever been that point? Mm-hmm. Anybody ever been to that point where it seems like evil is winning in your life? I'm trying to live for God. It seems like evil is winning right now.
Yeah,
it seems like evil is winning right now. But listen here. What I want to tell you, the only thing I hate about preaching this book, I can't preach it like I want to preach it. Because I can't give you the results. You got to come back. You got to come back. This is going to be continued. But I came by to tell you, evil don't last always. Both plots, the plot to get rid of the earthly king and the plot to get rid of the eternal kingdom, God is going to repurpose.
Yes.
Both plots,
yeah.
He's going to repurpose. I can't tell you how he's going to repurpose. Right now, unless you read the book yourself. But he's going to repurpose both plots.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
For his glory. And to take care of his people. Because he knows, he's already said, the Savior is coming to the Jewish nation. And he's going to make sure that happens. Now listen. All right, listen here. Got my scripture readers. I'm ready for your scripture reader, Genesis 50:20. Give me a bar. You're doing pretty good. About another 10 minutes, I've been saying. Stand up and read, man.
As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today.
All right.
Thank you.
This is Joseph.
Joseph, and we all know this. After Joseph's brother done him wrong,
right,
sold him out, sold him into slavery,
right,
all he went through, all the stuff he went through, and he says now that he's come through. Now Joseph is the prime minister. Joseph is second in charge. After all the things he went through, all the trouble he went through, probably when he was going through trouble, because some of the trouble he went through because he made the right decision.
Yeah.
Sometimes doing the right can get you in trouble.
Yes.
He went through by doing the right decision, and it took a while for God to reap him. He said, listen, what you did, you meant for evil.
Right. Right.
That was his brother's purpose.
Right.
But God repurposed.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. He said, what y'all did, y'all meant it for evil.
Right.
But then God repurposed.
Right, right, yeah. Right.
Repurposed the evil that you did, and God used it for good.
Yeah.
Now because God done repurposed it, I was able to feed you all and all the others.
Amen.
Man.
Amen.
Sometimes people going to mean evil. They going to mean do evil to you, but the good thing about it, God can repurpose.
Yes. Yes.
God can repurpose the evil that man is trying to do to you. All right, second one. Is that, pardon. Stand up and read this.
And Saul grew up there killing him. On that day, a great prosecution broke out against the church of Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria.
Read that first line for me. That first line one more time.
And Saul approved of their killing him.
Okay. All right. This is what Stephen got killed, and Saul, right before Saul got changed, approved of it. They were trying to kill. They were trying to kill him because they were killing the other Christians. They'll get nervous if they saw that we killed them,
right,
and they'll be quiet. Check back in 77 and see if they were jammed up. If we kill them, then they'll stop spreading this gospel. If we kill them, we can shut them up. That's what the enemy thought.
Right.
We kill them, they'll get nervous, they'll get scared, we'll shut them up. But the Bible says in chapter 8, when they killed them, and Saul approved of it, no, they scattered. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
In chapter 8, read that again for me, George. Chapter 8, one more time. Slowly. Stand up and read from slowly.
And Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great prosecution broke out.
Hold on. A great prosecution. I mean, they're trying to kill. They're trying to cause trouble for all the Christians. We won't get them to shut up, stop spreading Jesus stuff,
right,
this gospel. All right, keep reading.
Broke out against the church and Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria.
All right. Now he says, so now the persecution broke out. They were trying to stop.
Right.
But rather than stop it, they scattered.
Yeah.
Now they're going everywhere. If they just left alone,
right,
they'd have stayed there.
Right. Amen.
Come, you know, when Jesus said, hey, the Holy Ghost won't come, you go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. But they had did that. They were just staying in the same place. But then when the persecution came, that the enemy thought was going to stop it, that thing that the enemy thought was going to stop, God repurposed.
Right, right, right.
Amen.
I like God, because God can repurpose things.
Amen.
So sometimes when you see something going wrong in your life, that's all right, God. I know you're going to repurpose it.
Yes.
Sometimes when folks say bad things, don't worry about it. It's going to be repurposed.
Yes.
Sometimes when a negative thing happens in your life, don't worry about it. It's going to be repurposed.
Yes.
Matter of fact, sometimes you got to repurpose. God will allow you to repurpose some stuff on your own.
Uh-oh.
Sometimes you got to repurpose some stuff on your own.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm reading about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan gets thrown off his sophomore team. Michael Jordan thrown off the basketball team.
Ooh, right.
Now, he could have got agitated or aggravated. But what I'm trying to tell you, he repurposed getting thrown off. And rather than get agitated or aggravated, he got motivated.
Right.
He repurposed. Amen. He repurposed his getting thrown off. People were getting agitated, aggravated. He got motivated. Rather than getting worked, just getting worked up, he went to work.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to tell you. Sometimes, whether it's in your studies, whether it's in your academic career, whatever you're doing, sometimes, because you're not passing the test, not making the grade, sometimes you'll get aggravated, sometimes you'll get agitated. I'm trying to tell you, don't get worked up. Just don't get worked up. Go to work.
Yeah, amen.
Let it
amen.
Motivate you.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm.
You gotta repurpose something. You gotta have a. I'm gonna repurpose this.
Yeah.
Y'all say, Queen Latifah says, no to her is a bottom. So, every time somebody says, no, you can't do it, no, you can't have this bottom, it's like the bottom. You know, bottom energizes you, give you the energy. Mm-hmm. Amen. So, what I'm saying, when somebody says, no, you, what you can't do, what you can't be, what you're not gonna accomplish, you got to use that like a vitamin. To get energy from it to become all that God created you to be.
Yes.
God is a God of repurposing. Because sometimes you'll feel like you're this old God can't use me. I tell you, I'm worn out. I've been on flat too many times. Too old. Sick. Can't pass inspection. But God, oh, you can't pass people inspection. But I can repurpose. Won't he repurpose you? Is there anybody here ever been repurposed? God specializes in repurposing. Repurposing people. He can repurpose your pain and get gain. He can repurpose your history and take you to your destiny. He can repurpose your mess and make it a message. He can repurpose your past and make it a testimony. He can repurpose your misery and make it a ministry. God specializes in repurposing that. Wherever you are, God can say, yeah. I know it may not look good right now. Right now it may seem like evil is winning.
Yes, sir.
But I'm trying to tell you, I'm in the business of repurposing things. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Won't he repurpose it?
Yes,
I wish we could ask the Savior this morning. Jesus, won't he repurpose it?
Yes,
he said, oh, yes. Because there was a cross. A cross where crucified. A cross that meant death. A cross that meant shame.
Uh-huh.
A cross that meant your life was over. But I hung on that cross one Friday evening. And then I stayed there on that cross that everybody thought it was over. Everybody thought because I was on that cross it was finished. Everybody thought that was the worst punishment that could ever happen to a person. But God repurposed. Oh, Lord. He took some shame. There I saved your home and paid the price for our sin. And he died there to take away all of our sin. And you know they buried him. Stayed there Friday, Saturday, all Saturday up early Sunday morning. The Savior rose from the He repurposed the cross.
Yes.
Now we can say the cross at the cross.
Yes,
where my Savior died.
Yes.
Now we glory in the cross.
Yes.
It was at the cross.
Thank you, Lord God.
Jesus keep it at that cross.
Yes.
He repurposed it.
Yes.
He repurposed, amen. It used to be a shame. Now we wear them around our necks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Now it's on our building.
That's
he repurposed
real.
The cross.
Yeah.
That used to be saw as criminal.
Yes.
He repurposed. Now it means God can repurpose.
Yes.
So I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are today.
Yes.
But there are some things. Might be your history.
Jesus.
Might be some events that took place in your life. Circumstances. Situation. Decision you made. You can't go back and change that decision.
Uh-huh. Right.
Can't go back and change that event.
Right. Yes.
Can't go back and change all that stuff. It's history.
Right.
Can't go back and try to be undo what you already have done. But aren't you glad you got a God
Amen.
That can repurpose?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got a God that's in the repurposing business.
Amen.
But one day, a few years ago, I felt it like this old child. I felt unworthy, unusable, and thrown away. But God said, oh no, I'm going to repurpose you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I'm going to use you for things you never imagined.
Right.
And that's my message to you. God is providential. Things that you thought, you may not even think are important. Decision that you made 2 years ago, something that happened 5 years ago,
yes,
this place you went then, this other good thing that you did, you may not even think those things are important. But God is saying, yeah, I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that. Because, you know, he wasn't probably thing, when he was just standing out there by the gate, listening to the ball. He was thinking, oh, man, I'm hanging out by the gate, you know. I'm trying to get in because I got to go see what's going on with this. That's probably you out there. I got to go see what's going on with this. And then he overheard it. Sometimes he puts you in place. He puts you right there where you need to be. So you hear what you need to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's the kind of God that we serve.
Yeah.
And he was strategic placing you because he's getting ready to do something. He's getting you ready. You don't even know you're getting ready. You just think you're going by your everyday. I'm just going through my everyday routine. And God is doing all kinds of things in your life.
Yeah.
Working behind the scenes. You put in an application. And they say, no. It's
alright.
Okay. But just because they say no, don't mean it's a forever no.
Amen.
Oh, I was happy when
you
said yes.
Amen.
Because the first person the person that says yes to, they say, I don't want the job.
Yeah.
And they go, or maybe 2 years later, oh, man, what the first of mine? Yeah, I want the. Or maybe something that person may not thought you was a good fit, but they may know somebody else.
All right.
Over here, you know, I'm looking for somebody. So wait a minute. I had a guy in here last week. That'll be the perfect.
Yes, that's real.
That's the way God works, y'all. Mm-hmm. Don't give up on God. He's never given up on you. He's working out. You just don't know how he's going to work it out. I'm trying to tell you, he's already worked out what you're worried about.
Man.
You just got to trust him. Because sometimes you look around in your situation and say, man, God, are you doing anything for me? I'm trying to live a Christian life. I'm trying to do what you asked me to do. But I don't say, I got that. And all these guys like, oh, no. Say, I ain't able to win.
Jesus.
God is working it out.
Amen.
Working out what you will. Just stop working. Now, I know you just can't stop sometimes. Just trying to focus on something to work
out. Right.
I tell you something, when you're trying to be worried, don't. The way to stop worrying is to start working. Mm-hmm. Stop worrying about what you can't fix. And start working on being just being the better you. Mm-hmm. Best being the best version of you. The fact that you still have a pulse means you still got a purpose.
Right.
Amen.
As long as you got a pulse, you got a purpose. That's all I want to tell you. Amen. As long as you're still here, God got a purpose for you. The Savior says, no good deed goes unpunished. Because the man was thinking when he said that, when you sometimes you do something good and you just call him, you just. Because you did something good, you just get yourself in trouble with you could have left it alone and stayed out of it. But I want to tell you, no good deed goes unpurposed. Every good thing you do got a purpose.
Yes.
Mordecai did not know how telling the queen about the plot against the king. He did not know how God was going to repurpose that, but God later on uses that. Which I can tell you, but it got to be.
to be continued. So God was so, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I wouldn't, and I know you guys go on vacation in LA, but I wouldn't miss them because God going to be doing some stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping you're going to be doing some stuff in your life. Musicians going to come now. Thank you so much. Hey, listen. Listen here. God is providentially repurposing. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. He's doing it. He's using stuff that you don't know he'll use. Stuff that you might even think nothing of. He's repurposing little things in your life. He's not always opening in the Red Sea. He's not always raising the dead. He's not always looking for the big miracles that we're looking for. He don't always come in the storms. Sometimes he comes in the still small
forms.
That's providential. That's just working it out. That's working it out behind the scenes. That's making things work behind the scenes. You don't really know who one day. How did I get here? How did I get to this place? You look back and see how God is good. God, you look back and see all these parts you're doing, how you're using and circumstances, and you want to know it and tell everybody what you do. Oh!